finance and economics.
Free exchange. Hammer and tongs. How low will America's interest rates go? The Federal Reserve is split.
A single dissent on the Federal Reserve's interest rate committee garnered plenty of attention last week. Understandably so. It marked the first time since 2005 that a Fed governor had opposed a rate decision. Michelle Bowman's disagreement highlighted concerns that a half percentage point cut might be excessive for an economy yet to vanquish inflation. Nevertheless, her 11 other voting colleagues all supported the cut, an indication of near total unanimity on where the Fed should set rates today. Unremarked, and perhaps more remarkable, was an utter lack of consensus on where the Fed's benchmark rate should ultimately land. The central bank's policymakers make projections every quarter. Their latest update, published on September 18th, revealed that their views on long-term interest rates are the most dispersed since the Fed started publishing these dot-plot projections in 2012. Of the 19 officials who made forecasts, the committee's 12 voters plus 7 regional Fed presidents, a maximum of 3 agreed on any level for long-run rates. In all, they made 11 different forecasts, from a low of 2.375% to a high of 3.75%. Such a wide range obviously reflects a high degree of uncertainty. It also points to a fundamental problem with monetary policy: the extreme fuzziness of the neutral real rate of interest, a supposed guidepost for central bankers. Defined simply, the neutral real rate, or R-star as it's known for short, is the rate that applies when the economy is growing at its exact potential, with inflation steady and employment at its stable maximum. In this perfect equilibrium, a nirvana for central bankers, interest rates would be neither expansionary nor contractionary. Although Fed policymakers do not forecast R-star in their quarterly exercise, it is easy enough to glean their implied views by subtracting their inflation projections from their long-term rate projections. Since all committee members believe that inflation is heading to the Fed's 2% target, what remains is their divergence on long-term rates. They believe, therefore, that the neutral real rate lies somewhere between 0.375% and 1.75%. Until recently, most Fed projections were anchored around a neutral real rate of 0.5%. Now more than three-quarters of committee members think it is higher, possibly much higher. R-star does not exist in observable reality, so there is no way of proving conclusively how high or low it is. Jerome Powell, the Fed's chairman, often harks back to John Henry Williams, an economist who drew on theology in explaining the neutral rate. "Like faith, it is seen by its works," he wrote in 1931. That is a clever quip, but also quite damning. The corollary of knowing neutral by its works is that economists are really only equipped to see it after the fact. If the economy is too hot, rates are presumably below neutral. If too cold, they must be above neutral. As a practical target for central bankers, post hoc derivations of R-star are not much use. But tune into debates about monetary policy, and much of the focus is on what exactly the neutral level might be. In a review published in 2021, Claudio Borio of the Bank for International Settlements, a club for central banks, discovered a dramatic increase in references to the natural rate of interest, often used interchangeably with the neutral rate, in recent years. Until the mid-2010s, the concept popped up in just 5 or so speeches a year by central bankers. By 2019, it appeared in more than 50 such speeches. Whereas economists once looked at monetary aggregates as a lodestar for central bank policy, now they are more inclined to think in terms of R-star. The current debate features 2 camps. The first believes that neutral rates have risen in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. Higher productivity growth, perhaps as a result of artificial intelligence, would push up potential growth and, as a result, R-star. More damagingly, higher fiscal deficits may also place upward pressure on the neutral rate. The other camp believes that long-running trends which weighed on rates before the pandemic are reasserting themselves, notably an ageing population that saves more and innovates less. It is an important debate, yet it does not yield a solid measure for determining whether our star has risen. Economists have tried to come up with such measures via sophisticated models, as is their wont. One of the most influential is known as HLW, after the economists who crafted it, with regular updates published by the New York Fed. According to it, the neutral real rate has in fact fallen sharply over the past few years and is now at 0.75%, back to the lows seen after the global financial crisis of 2007 to 2009. This would be inconvenient for the Fed rate setters who assume that our star is much higher in the post-COVID world. It would, though, be inadvisable to put this or any model on a pedestal. A recent paper by Daniel Buncic of Stockholm University argues that HLW is flawed. One problem is that it incorporates policy rates as variable, leading to circularity. Are central banks adjusting rates to hit R star, or are estimates of R star reacting to central bank decisions? As Mr. Borio notes, a standard error band around R star models more generally would place the neutral rate in a range of roughly 2.5 percentage points, almost useless for central bankers who move in quarter point increments. Central banks are not flying blind. They have lots of data and theory that help them decide whether rates are high or low, from measures of output and inflation to estimates of potential growth, full employment and inflation expectations. But the belief that there is a discernible neutral rate out there somewhere in the monetary ether is a gross simplification. Aiming for an imaginary and almost certainly false variable is just as likely to hurt as to help. In that sense, the collapse of consensus in the Fed's R-star projections is welcome. It is a form of intellectual honesty.